It is a tradition in the United States Navy, when the construction of a ship is done, to christen or commission the ship. This is normally done by a woman who serves as sponsor to the ship. She takes a bottle of champagne and says, "In the name of the United States, I christen thee the USS Eau Claire," and she smashes the bottle on the hull of the ship. The point of this commissioning service is to show everyone that this ship is now ready to enter active duty, ready to start receiving and completing different missions. In our reading for this morning, Daniel is given a vision of the return of our Savior Jesus Christ after his time on earth. Jesus here receives a commission to enter active duty in your hearts. Jesus had just returned from the first part of his mission, so that's where we'll turn our attention to it first. When we imagine the first mission of a brand new warship or battle cruiser, we think of a huge boat crashing across the seas, showing off its great technological and man-made strength. This picture cannot be any more different than the first aspect of Jesus' mission. He did not come charging into the world, showing off his great power and majesty, but rather, he came as a humble baby, born in a stable, whose only fanfare to proclaim his coming into the world was a group of shepherds. Take a second to truly compare the vision of Daniel with the account of Christ's birth. Verses 9 and 10 set the scene for the commissioning. We read again, "The Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames. Its wheels were burning fire. A steam issued forth and came out from before him. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him." This is the reception that was prepared for Jesus when he returned to heaven. When a ship is commissioned, a large crowd will normally assemble, but the largest crowd ever assembled would have disappeared in the assembly that appeared before God's throne that day. All those gathered there knew the great and mighty power of Jesus. He is true God, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. And how do we see this full member of the Godhead this time of year? As a tiny baby in a food trough in a humble stable. Contrast the Jesus in heaven having the assembly of 10,000 times 10,000 serving him to the Jesus of the lowly manger. This is the mission that God gave to Jesus. And why did he do this? Why was this his mission? We read in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, "The saying is trustworthy and fully deserving of acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost." That is why he had to come, to save sinners, because of you and because of me. Our sinfulness caused our death, but the Father's love caused the all-knowing, all-powerful God to leave heaven and to come into the world as a lowly baby. Through his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus took away the sins of the world. But the second aspect of his mission applies directly to you. We read about it in the first half of verse 14. "And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him." Hold on a second. If Christ was given a kingdom so that all these people, nations, and languages should serve him, well then where is it? When we look out into the world, we don't see people deserving Christ, serving Christ. They are serving themselves. The nations of the world are sinful and ungodly. So where is the kingdom of Christ? The answer is simple. You carry it around with you every day. You have it with you right now. The answer is in your heart. The kingdom of Christ, his ongoing ruling activity, is right here in your heart. That is the reason that Christ was presented before God that day. So that God could give Jesus his kingdom. So that God could give Jesus your heart. However, Christ did not always rule in your heart. We read in Psalm 51, verse 5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." When you were born, you were a complete and total enemy of God. Your very nature, the very essence of your being, was opposed to him. But through the miracle of baptism, you were brought to faith. Your heart did a complete turnaround from the road to hell to the path to heaven. How did you do this? Well, it wasn't anything you did. We read in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." You didn't do anything. It was purely a work of the Holy Spirit that turned your heart from a child of the devil to a child of God. Through your baptism, Christ now rules in your heart. Recall again our text, "To him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom." What an amazing act of God. Jesus already had a kingdom in heaven. He had 1,000,000 serving him and 10,000 times 10,000 standing before him. And despite that fact, the fact that he was in control of this mighty, powerful kingdom in heaven, where does he choose to rule? Right here, in your heart and in my heart. We read of the third aspect of Christ's mission in the second half of verse 14. "His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, one that shall not be destroyed." Christ's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It will never end. In order for this to be true, you and your heart, which is the kingdom of Christ, will have to live forever. Do you believe that you will live forever? It's a difficult concept for us, especially during these winter months. We are reminded of the death that is everywhere in the world. But hear the words of the angels after Jesus ascended into heaven. "This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Jesus will come back. It is the final part of his mission to come back. Just as he has completed the other two parts, so we know that he will complete the third. So what is he doing in the meantime? Jesus himself told us in John chapter 14, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus is preparing a place for you in heaven right now, so that you can live with him there. During this Advent season, we remember the first coming of Christ and everything that he went through for us. But just as important is that we keep in mind the second coming of Christ, when he will come again to raise the dead and to take those whose hearts were part of his kingdom to be with him. This Christmas season, let's you and I be found among those thousands who served him. Let's take advantage of the many times each day in the dorms, classrooms, and campus life when the Lord's great love can be reflected through us to our fellow believers. So in these few verses of Daniel, we can see the three parts of the great mission on which God sent his Son. On the basis of this victory over sin and death, he was received in heaven by the Father and gloriously commissioned to rule all things. Jesus was sent into the world to take away all the sins of mankind, including yours. He was sent to come into your heart to rule as your Savior and your King, and he will be sent one more time to come again in glory, to take you home to be with him forever. Amen. We'll conclude this morning by singing hymn 62, verses 1 and 4.